Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Group 10 Metals as I am chatting with the president and CEO, Michael Rowley. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, Group 10 Metals is part of the Metallic Group of Companies. In a general interview with Greg Johnson, I introduced the companies under this umbrella, and Group 10 Metals is the battery and precious metals focus entity within Metallic Metals, focused in Montana on the Stillwater West project. Now, the company does have a couple other projects, one in Ontario and one in Yukon, but we are going to focus mostly on the Stillwater West project because this is going to provide some of the near-term catalysts for the company moving through this year. We even had some news that came out last week, drill results from this project that did catch some attention. Now, Michael, let's start off with a quick comment and some history on the Stillwater West project. Can you give us an update? What drew you to this project, please?
Sure, I'd be glad to. It was simply a fantastic opportunity for a junior. The Stillwater name is iconic in the mining and geology world. And a fellow reached out with the opportunity to own a real chunk of it. We got into the database and we quickly saw the potential for this Platte Reef model that we've been talking about. This is South African geologic models from some of the biggest and most profitable mines of their type applied to related geology in Montana. We're stratigraphically below Sibanye's producing reef deposits, and that's the correct setting for these very large copper nickel sulfide PGE deposits. We saw that in the data initially, and the signature of the soils anomaly that you've seen on our deck there in particular points to real size here. 10 kilometers soil anomalies. That's the kind of size that Greg Johnson, our chair, ran with at NovaGold at both Donlin and Galore Creek. So that group went from 10 cents a share to 2 billion in market cap on those two deposits. And that's the scale potential that we see at Stillwater. This is in the battery metal and PGE space, as you mentioned, and we're in the correct place to apply those bulk mineable nickel copper PGE models from South Africa. That was the initial interest. We got in there and quickly tripled the land position as we got into the database. We now own it 100%.
So being right beside the Stillwater mine, that does catch some people's attention, but I need to ask you, what's some of the historic work that has been done on this project that you guys are at least referencing as you progress along with your exploration?
Sure, it's been fantastic. The data that we got with this project is worth tens of millions. And then we engaged a data sharing agreement with the USGS that brought us further beneficial materials. 215 drill holes to date across the 31-kilometer strike of the package. That's enough to get you on second base and set you up in terms of where to look. It's underexplored, certainly in terms of the Platte Reef model. And we've been able to run with it quickly on that basis. The data is quickly pointing us to scale and grade of nickel sulfide, copper sulfide, enriched in PGEs on the property. Sibanye, you mentioned, 100 million ounce deposit, the highest grade palladium platinum mines in the world, and we're in the correct place stratigraphically below them. We adjoin them. They're mining just about 500 meters to the north of us, underground, and they run a smelter in the district. So the setup in those regards is really good.
So over this 25-kilometer package within Stillwater West here, on slide 12, you have a map outlining here 8 different target areas. I will post a link to the corporate presentation, but with all the exploration potential, what is going to be the focus as the company, well, continues to explore at this project?
Yeah, we've identified 8 areas, multi-kilometer in scale, that fit that Platte Reef model. And we've got Dr. David Broughton from Ivanhoe 2 years ago confirming that. He was on site in the core shack, and that was an exciting validation for us. He also gave us some really good early insight into how to explore this for those giant mine models. You asked about strategy. We're focused on bringing three of those across the finish line as initial resources here, and that's going to happen in the next few months. We've been working on that. Again, we're blessed with 31,000 meters of drilling to date, and that's got us starting on second or even third base in those target areas. We're quickly able to expand on that in terms of grade and scale, and I think that news release that you referenced from last week did a really good job of showing what's possible. 8.5 meters, 1.1% nickel, with really good preliminary metallurgy, that shows what's possible and how underexplored this is. Key point, I guess, these are new horizons within a big magmatic system. So we think we can quickly add grade and scale to this. It's a wonderful district to be in.
Now, how are you isolating the three areas that you're focusing on, taking into account? Again, there are eight target areas.
Yeah, well, we're working up earlier stage targets in a number of areas, five in total, actually. But the strategy is to get those three at Chrome, also called Discovery, Camp, and HGR, across the line as formal resources, revalue the company around that, and get on to bigger programs, and then grow them in terms of scale and grade from there. That IP survey that we just completed was fantastic in this regard. You'll notice that the line density of the survey is greater over the three drill-defined areas, the emerging resource models. We're doing that to get basically a fingerprint of those desirable areas and then step out from there and target grade. And that worked beautifully in our first time applying that those targets last year. We hit multiple new horizons of really good mineralization at Chrome Mountain. And we're looking forward to continuing that this year at Camp and HGR, as well as at Chrome.
Any idea or insights on what the exploration plans are for 2021?
We're looking at a multi-rig program. It'll certainly be bigger, our biggest yet. We're permitted on 50 drill pads across five of those target areas. And more than ever, with that IP survey in hand from last year, we see a way to target some really exciting things here quickly and add ounces and pounds.
So what is possible in terms of this drill program for this year? Understanding that even you've alluded to it, a lot of potential at this project, but you do need to take it systematically. So in a reasonable expectation sense, what can investors and those watching the company expect out of the program?
Sure. So far, we've done small, smart programs that fit the stage of the company and also just the prevailing market. Everything is working in our favor now, and we can contemplate much bigger programs this year. We've drilled ourselves 10 holes to date, five each year, and we've hit on every single one, and that says something. To your point about strategy and focus, in each program, we're expanding drill-defined mineralization, and we're also making careful step-outs that target grade and scale. And we've hit on all 10 holes. So we'll look to do that at a multiple of that this year.
Okay, in terms of time frame for the initial resources at three of the more advanced targets, what is the time frame on that?
Middle of this year is a good target, June-July time frame perhaps. We had hoped that would be already done, but delays in assay labs and delays getting the results together from last year's program delayed it. No harm done. We're up in the market, and we're really happy with the view forward.
Now, just a quick comment on some of these other projects. I think we all need to understand the Stillwater West is going to be the main catalyst here, but you do hold a gold project in Ontario called Black Lake. You also hold a PGE nickel project up in the Yukon. That one's a bit more early stage. How are these incorporated into the company?
We own them 100%, as we do Stillwater as well, and they reflect that Metallic Group philosophy of acquiring good assets in the bear market when you can get these things inexpensively. They're all district scale positions, and they're all beside some of the best mines deposits of their type. Kluane is another magmatic system like Stillwater, and it adjoins the Nickel Creek Platinum Project, one of the largest undeveloped nickel PGE projects deposits in the world. And we have a lot of claims in that whole system. I think geologists and the majors understand it. Not our focus, and we'd be glad to partner that or parts of that. The Ontario asset is very compelling. We adjoin Treasury Metals. We share the Sioux Lookout Deformation Zone with them. They've just consolidated with Goldland. They've now got 3 million ounces and a permit to build a mill. And we're getting a lot of M&A interest on that one. I wouldn't be surprised to see a deal of some kind within 2021. And that ties into our strategy of focusing on Stillwater. We're not in a rush to do deals on these projects. We own them outright and they have low carrying costs, but we'll do the right deal at the right time.
So again, these are in a way almost a free carry, a cheap carry for the company to see if there are any partners out there that want to take this on. Now, Mike, because it is your first time on the show, I do want you to outline a little bit of your background and history within the resource sector, please.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I've been in mining since 1990, joined in a mining lab on the mineral processing side, doing various tests, flotation, cyanidation, environmental work. Met Ross Beattie in 1994 and was quite inspired with the way he was. He'd sold Equinox Gold, the first one at that point, and was building Pan American Silver, early days. And I was very impressed with that model of acquiring assets when they're unwanted, but still world-class. So I joined the exploration game about 2000, 2002, and I'm a founder of Group 10 since 2007. And I'm very pleased and proud of what the company has become coming out of this most recent bear market and into a super cycle for literally all of our commodities.
So then, Michael, let's also talk about the cash in the bank and also share structure here. The company shares I'm seeing outstanding around 147 million on a fully diluted basis, about 199 million. One thing to note is that the warrants and options are in the money here. Can you give us an update on what the cash is in the bank and any key shareholders that you can outline for us, please?
Sure, I'd be glad to. $2.5 million in the bank, $13 million in the money, options and warrants. Those are coming in nicely. We're funded through everything we need to do in the short term, including launching the field program. We've got a number of really good conversations underway towards bigger things that I obviously can't give too much detail on right now. And then there's sale of non-core assets as well. So that's proceeding well. Terms of shareholders, management insiders, we own 26%, including myself. We wrote checks for those. The institutional base has grown nicely and is currently about 22%. And that includes Sprott Asset. U.S. Global is a big holder as well as other funds out of Europe and Canada and U.S. and Australia.
Now, how much in terms of the options and warrants that are in the money, how much money can that bring in for the company?
Warrants would be about $11 million. Those are between 21 and 30 cents. And the options add a further $2 million to that.
Let's just wrap it up then with a quick summary of what we've talked about here in terms of news flow and catalysts moving through this year. What can investors expect?
I think the most imminent and compelling news will be the images that came out of that IP survey that we did last year. Big geophysical survey that looks 800 meters down into the rocks with 3D imaging. What we're getting out of that was fantastic, and the success of the drill results we just put out are credit to that and its ability to target grade scale at Stillwater. I think the images and how the chargeability conductive anomalies correlate with the drill defined mineralization, I think that'll be very compelling, and we look forward to releasing that shortly here. We're presenting at PDAC in a technical session on March 10th that's alongside Ivanhoe and the Platreef mine, some of our parallels in South Africa. That's on March 10th. Beyond that, it's the resources, perhaps 3 months out, 2-3 months, summer. We're saying mid-2021. And the announcement of 2021 plans and specifics on what we hope to get up to. Deals on non-core assets as they become relevant would also be news flow.
Okay. Well, Mike, we will follow up as especially we get some more information on the exploration plans for 2021 and following up on the initial drill results here that, as you even mentioned, all were hitting the types of rocks and the mineralization that you guys were looking for on the back of that initial IP survey. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Mike regarding anything at Group 10 Metals, please email me. fleck@kereport.com, and I will get those answered for you. Mike, I appreciate your time. Thank you for the update.
Thanks so much. Glad to chat.